Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP, Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this sterling but snowless day?
I'm good, Tom. Good morning.
Well, excellent. Why don't we start right? We got a really long list here. Why don't we start right out with the Two Harbors City Council approving a bid for building the new liquor store?
Got it. Well, we'll whip through these and then turn people onto the paper to get the deeper look. That's all. So, Two Harbors. I think that's a interesting headline. So, $5+ million. There was a lot of conversation on Monday about this. It's been in the planning for a long time. It's gone back and forth to the drawing board. There was sort of a, in the beginning, I mean, we can go back a year or more when the conversation really started going about, I'm thinking like it's been more than a year, about, hey, we want to build a new liquor store. How can we fund that? How much money are we willing to borrow? How much debt are we willing to? We all know that a municipal liquor store currently, as it stands, with very small floor space and terrible parking accommodations, they're making $2.3 million a year. So that's a hefty little stream of revenue for the city. And they figure that if they expanded and made it easier to pull in there, probably they could increase that revenue. That seems like a reasonable assumption. But they have to get into debt to do it. And with the construction costs and materials going up in this last few years, it ended up being a bigger ticket item than they thought. And there's quite a lot of debate, and it was a split vote, 3-4, but it passed. So what? Buckle up. They're talking about 2026 having it I'm sorry, 2025 having, gosh darn it, I keep saying the wrong date. Next year, talking about building it, having it open by the end of next year, Tom, 2024.
Well, hush my mouth. I think you know that Superman fought for the American way of life, which included going into debt because that is our way of life. And in a business, you got to spend money to make money. And whether the city likes it or not, the city is in the business of being a city. And going into debt is part of that. And the people who live in the city, whether they realize it or not, have to pay to live in the city just the same as they would have to pay to live anywhere else. It costs to build roads and provide water and get rid of whatever you're done with when you're done with it. And those are the taxes that keep a city running. And the city is recognizing that it is normal to take on some debt if it's warranted. And I think in a case of a cash cow like the Jar Store, it is warranted. And so more power to them. I'm glad that they moved ahead. Local Masons are donating fire suppression tools to assorted North Shore fire departments. I think that's pretty cool.
It's really cool. So there's multiple layers of this story, and I'm excited for people to look at it and read more about it. Basically, we have Masons in Two Harbors, and we're all kind of aware of that because of that beautiful building. And if we don't know anyone who's a Mason, we think, are they still active? Yes, they are. They're a small but hearty group, and they're also affiliated with a Mason Lodge in Silver Bay. And when Dan Morissette called me to tell me and about that there's a Mason Lodge in Silver Bay and about this donation and an event that I was invited to, so they did this presentation donating these tools to the fire departments. My first response was, there's a Mason Lodge in Silver Bay? And he said, that's why I'm calling you. I want people to know that we're here and we're trying to help the community and we're trying to raise funds and be good, decent human beings and support different agencies. So for instance, so cool. Fire suppression tools, look it up. It's like this, it's about the size of a, smaller than a bread box. I don't know exactly how to tell you. It's a box. You pull two pins on it, which starts at an electric ignition. You throw it into a burning building, has to be an enclosed space. It releases in 35 seconds a mist, which interrupts the molecular binding without disrupting oxygen of the molecules that form fire, suppresses the fire for up to 20 minutes by 1,000 degrees. It's like magic. Incredible life-saving tool. So the Masons bought these. They donated them to Two Harbors, Silver Bay, and Grand Marais fire departments. And it was a lot of fun finding out about it, meeting some new people.
A box with two buttons that suppresses fire for 20 seconds. This sounds like the makings of another Dan Brown Mason story here. This is mysterious beyond reckon. And oh my, I got no words.
Read the story, Dom.
I got no words. Make a mark on the wall.
So rare.
Oh, golly. Let's wake up, Tom. Move on. County Board highlights. Oofta.
So we're not going to dive deep into this one. Katya Gordon attended the County Board meeting this last Tuesday and did a great job breaking the topics out as they were discussed. And one of them, which she asked if she should include, was, I made a presentation to the County Board requesting that they consider the Lake County Press as their legal newspaper for 2024. And I said, why not? Put me in the paper. I guess I can live with that. So go ahead and read up on that, folks.
Well, yes. We're going to have a competition between the representatives of the Fourth Estate now for the county business. And, well, again, Superman, American Way of Life, going in debt and competition is another side of it. So I guess, yeah, putting on a little pressure on Lake County Press and the other paper. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I like it. Patience at the post office. Oh, boy. Our local post office is superb. The people working there, I couldn't ask for a nicer bunch. Their grand supreme boss, Louis DeJoy, is a whole other story. I should just let you go on. Continue, please, about patience with the post office.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much covered it. There's a lot of problems at the level of the administration and the way. I mean, we should all be thankful for our postal workers and all of our amazing small local post offices. Also, they are under a lot of pressure by their bosses. So it's just a reminder. It's a little bit about what's happening in the world of the USPS at the highest levels, but a reminder for all of us, this is a really tough time of year for our postal people, and please be kind to them. They deserve it. They're working really hard.
That's right. They're no higher up the ladder in the post office chain of business than you or I. I had a very small parcel once, letter size, and they had their tracking business going on with them, you know, with their barcodes and such, and I saw the travel history of this thing. It went from the place that I had ordered it to the post offices in St. Paul and Minneapolis, shuttling back and forth between those two cities in their various sorting centers, onto a truck, up the shore, through Two Harbors, up to Silver Bay, back down to St. Paul, back and forth between Minneapolis and St. Paul again, back on another truck, and up to Two Harbors, and then back down to the cities, and finally back up to Two Harbors again for delivery. And it had nothing to do with these poor folks that are our friends and neighbors. It was all the system that they're forced to work with. My golly. When you see a postal worker of any sort here in town, give them a smile, shake their hand if they have the time, and be happy for the strength and fortitude that they have to do the kind of work that their boss requires them to do. My goodness.
Exactly.
We have a piece now about the EMS task force.
I just want to bring this to the top of everyone's mind. It's going to be an unfolding story. We're going to keep covering it, every inch of it that we can. There's a new task force. Some of our representatives here in Lake County, that's Grant Hochschild, Senator Grant Hochschild, and Representative Natalie Zalesnikar, are on this task force. So I really encourage people to follow it. Talk to the elected officials about what their ideas are and needs are for emergency medical services, specifically ambulance in Lake County.
Ah, yes. I dumped on some people in Twin Cities when they were griping about the kinds of things we're dealing with. And I told them, I said, hey, everything that you take for granted down there, we rely on volunteers to do, and they get paid both diddly and squat for it. and it's time for things to change. Calm down, Tom. Stop. Breathe. Move on to the next piece about Brad Anderson. He's our local veteran service officer, and he's got a squared away column with a focus on eradicating the stigma and the prejudice and the discrimination with respect to mental illness, which is a very large umbrella. You bet.
Very good article. I wanted to make sure people read Brad's column this week. He does a column almost every week about veteran services. This week, and it's a topic he's very passionate about. It's very meaningful. I want people to pay attention to it. I did something a little unusual. I put a full paragraph quoting part of his article on the front page as part of my kicker. So my kicker is that little square. I usually put a picture and then a little lead under it saying, here's a story on the inside that I think you should make sure you turn to. And I really wanted to highlight it. I think it's super important. The stigma, the prejudice, and the discrimination of people with mental illness, all people, veterans and others, and veterans certainly have an overwhelmingly high amount of that in their lives. We all have to do more and really kind of look inside and see what we're doing to perpetuate that, Tom.
You bet. There's really a huge one been in the news for the past, several weeks about vets who are exposed to repeated high-intensity shockwave, like lobbing a grenade or being on a line with our artillery and getting dozens and hundreds or several hundred blast wave exposures day after day after day. And what this does, it raises havoc with that lump of fat that's between the ears and people's thinking and thought processes are being damaged to the point where they're in the news, and it's a form, perhaps induced by wartime activity, of for want of another term, mental illness. It's not necessarily disordered thinking from something that happened in the womb, but rather something that happened in the boom. And gotta look at these folks a little bit differently. Now, I was in the service myself, but it was fairly benign compared with what these guys are going through. What I did was scary, but it's a whole another concept. This is going to be a good piece, and its time is overdue. Is there anything else, Kitty, right offhand?
There's always more of the story, Tom, but I'll wait for next week.
Okay, thank you for that. To our listeners out there, especially the one I heard about who actually listens to us, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. Bye for now. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.